In this podcast, we're going to look at scriptures on three subjects. One is homosexual, lesbian. Two is adultery. And the other is fornication. We'll start with Jude, though, because Jude tells us the sins that are going to be coming through ministers in the end time churches. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They come into the ministry, they eliminate certain scriptures that show sin from God's viewpoint, and they tell the congregations that it's all right to do certain things, that God loves them and wants them to be happy, and these things that they tell them they can do are sins against God and will destroy the congregation if they keep going that way. Preachers today often eliminate many scriptures and approve such sins as fornication, adultery, and homosexual acts. Verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as in Sodom and Gomorrah, and in the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. First, concerning homosexuals. God sent forth two angels to remove Lot, Abraham's nephew, from Sodom, and to destroy Sodom, where men from every quarter of the city were homosexuals. Genesis 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Angels do not have wings, as is portrayed in portraits today. Angels do not have wings. They look like natural human beings. There's even a scripture that says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, because by doing this, some of you have entertained angels unaware. angels look like natural men. Verse 2 of Genesis 19. And Lot said to them, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. Lot knew the wickedness of the men of Sodom and that they would likely come out to try to have sex with these two angels. And the angels said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And Lot pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they could lie down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all people from every quarter. From every quarter of the city of Sodom, there were homosexuals who came to Lot's house to try to have sex with the two men who were visiting Lot, who were really two angels who had been sent by God to destroy the city of Sodom because of the sins of homosexuals. Verse 5. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them, have sex with them. And Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Lot knew homosexual acts were wicked. Lot knew the city was filled with homosexuals. Lot knew that if these two strangers who had come into town were left on the street, they would likely be attacked by the homosexuals in the city. So Lot brought them into his house, but before they could even go to sleep, men from every part of Sodom came out to have sex with those two men who were really angels. So Lot said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof for protection. And the men of Sodom said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow, Lot, came in to sojourn here, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and he came near to break the door. But the two men, the two angels, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they, the two angels, smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness. both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Angels have great powers. Verse 12. And the men, the two angels, said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. The sins of Sodom were greater, and they were more wicked than any other place on the earth. We read that in the following scripture. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Genesis 13:13. So we have seen in the Old Testament God's view of homosexuals. Now in the New Testament, we read what God says about homosexuals and lesbians. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Verse 27, and also likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. But what about those who say they were born homosexual? Mark chapter 10, Jesus says, But from the beginning God created man and woman, not man, woman, and homosexual. From the beginning, they're created as a man or a woman. God gave them up to be homosexuals because they incorrectly viewed him and did not keep him in the proper position after they knew what he was. If they do not repent and turn from homosexual and lesbian acts, they are in danger of being in eternal fire forever, destroyed forever. If they turn from their acts and acknowledge the truth of these scriptures, they will be saved for eternal life, just like we are. Now, what does the Bible say about fornication? 1 Corinthians 6. Paul shows us fornication causes you to be one flesh with that other person, even if the other person is a prostitute. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. At the time of sexual intercourse, the two become one flesh. Even if it is sex with a prostitute. Verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What does God say in the Bible about adultery? Matthew 5:32, Jesus says, But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. If a man divorces a faithful wife and she remarries, she will commit adultery. The man who marries her will commit adultery, and the man who divorced her in the first place will be the cause of her adultery. And Jesus goes on to say, And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. This is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 32, and I've never heard this taught in any church I have ever attended. Jesus tells the men, if you divorce your wife for any reason, saving the cause of fornication. Fornication is your only scriptural reason to divorce your wife. I said that once to a man in our church group who had filed divorce papers against his wife. I said, was she committing fornication? And he said, no. And I said, well, fornication is the only scriptural reason to divorce your wife. He read it and withdrew the divorce proceedings from the U.S. courts. So Jesus says, whosoever shall put away his wife, divorce his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. I've never heard this taught in a church, that the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Apparently, it was taught at one period of history because my best friend was divorced and married a man from their church group. I asked him, I said, Hal, if you had known Donna was divorced, would you have dated her? She kept it a secret at church. Hal stood there and quietly thought about my question. And then he said to me, No, I don't think I would have. But Donna kept it a secret. There were two women Hal was interested in dating. His wife had died of cancer, and he was left with three small children. So he wanted to marry. These two women attended his church. He did not know that either of them had been married. He chose to date Donna, who had been divorced. He fell in love with her. She told him the truth. She had been divorced. But he married her anyway. But he told me that he probably wouldn't have dated her if he had known she was a divorced woman. So somebody must have taught this at some period of time in some church. But so much has been taken out of the Bible and eliminated from the church. Now, we've all got Bibles and we can all read it, so no one's guiltless, no matter what the pastor says. We've all got Bibles. But they will be held accountable, the pastors who eliminate this. The congregation who have Bibles and could read the truth for themselves will be held accountable. We're all held accountable by the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 and 11. Now, this is another scripture I've never heard taught at church. And unto the married I command, says Paul, yet not I, but the Lord. He's saying, this is a commandment of the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. This means you can't divorce your husband, even if he's unfaithful. There are different rules for men and women in the church. Paul says this is a commandment of the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Jesus explains it in Mark 10. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two, but one flesh. At the time of sexual intercourse, the two become one flesh. How do you separate one flesh? Not by a divorce paper. That will not separate one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Mark chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. And he saith unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another, committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Romans 7, New Testament Law of God, spoken by the Apostle Paul to the New Testament Church. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. Some churches will say we are not accountable anymore to the law. Well, we're not to the law of Moses, but this is the law of God. Paul is speaking it to the New Testament church, and it's in the New Testament Bible. So what we're reading in Romans chapter 7, verse 2, is the law of God for the New Testament church. Verse 2, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth, but if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. These things have been eliminated from the New Testament church by most churches today because the pastors want big audiences. And if they spoke these scriptures, they would offend many people in their church group. And they would leave that church group and find another church group where they were approved in their sin. So there would be no repentance. And they would go to the day of judgment thinking they were approved. When I lived in Lubbock, Texas, I went to a luncheon sponsored by Texas Tech. They had assigned seatings. I was assigned to a table, a round table, that had about 9 people. I was assigned to sit by a man who was wearing the largest wooden cross around his neck that I've ever seen. It had to have been at least 9 inches long. He was speaking to the group of people at the table when I sat down. He identified himself as former pastor of Indiana Baptist Church. And he said, "Oh, we have such a problem at the church." Well, everybody looked up wanting to know what the problem was. He said, "We have built onto the church 3 times and we still have so much problem seating people in the congregation, we can't seat them. Though we've built onto the church auditorium 3 times. And I spoke up and said, "If you would teach what Jesus says in Matthew 5:32, you would have no trouble seating the people at your church." Matthew 5:32, Jesus says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever shall divorce his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery if she remarries. And whosoever shall marry a divorced woman commits adultery." If you said that to your congregation, about half of them would get up and leave you. and you'd have no trouble seating the remaining people. Because so many people in churches have divorced their wives and remarried, or women have divorced their husbands and remarried, and men have married divorced women, committing adultery, as Jesus said, that these people would be offended and they would leave you and hunt another church. So you wouldn't have any trouble seating people at your church if you just spoke that one scripture and taught it. Matthew 5:32. He was shocked. I got up and fled the building without staying for the luncheon. Thank you for allowing me to share this with you today.